Well, hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to Whiplash Talk. Sunshine coming at you. I'm so excited that you're joining me today. I've got a lot of things on my plate, and I just really want to just jump in there and spend time with you today. I'd like to start with on today is Saturday. It's a beautiful day where I am at. There have been a lot of weird weather things going on in the area. And I just wanted to encourage everyone to just keep an eye open. As I've been told, keep your head on a swivel. You know, weather is not like what it used to be. And I've said before on here that I like the sound of harps, but I don't like harp. And so know that what we all grew up and what your grandparents grew up with and knowing how weather operates, that it doesn't actually happen that way anymore. And I'll put that on a shelf and leave that there, and you guys can go do research on that. There's some things going on in the news that I wanted to bring up and start off with. Maybe start off with some news that I've been picking up here and there, some on Project Veritas, and some in other areas, but also picking up on things that I've seen in my neck of the woods, as they say, which is not normal. On my way to work the past couple of weeks, I've seen freshly painted tanks, camo tanks, on the backs of rail cars going through my area. That's not normal. I've seen military vehicles, freshly painted, fuel trucks, water trucks, things like that. It's not guard weekend anywhere that I know about. And so I've seen all of that going on as well. And it kind of makes you go, maybe I should be paying a little bit more attention to what's going on around me and keep my eyes open. So I just encourage you to keep your eyes open. Watch what's going on around your world. Look up in the sky. See if there's a patchwork quilt up there. It looks like a plaid patchwork quilt on the chemtrails that are happening. Remember that jets have not, for many years, used water vapor in their engines. So they're not contrails anymore. Those are chemtrails. So you can do a little research on that as well, and what's in those, and why we command our spirits to destroy anything that is trying to harm or hinder us. So that's a good one to use whenever you're seeing chemtrails in your area. So let's kind of get into the news. The first thing I wanted to talk about was something that I saw on Project Veritas. It was a new undercover expose from them that recently came out. Maybe it's been out a day or two now. But it's a current White House official. The person's name is Sterling Waters, no G on the end, so Sterling Waters. I thought that was kind of an interesting name for a White House official that was caught in an undercover expose. He's a cyber policy advisor for the National Security Council, and he stated, quote, "If Biden won again, he could be much more forthright about saying no to Israel," stating that the administration would have more freedom to tell Israel, quote, "You're not going to continue to lie and bomb and kill all those kids, all these kids, without facing serious consequences." I was like, wait, what did he just say? So I think I might just leave that right there, because we could do a whole show on two different rabbit trails that I see that could go down. But I'll leave that right there and have you guys do more research on your own. I will encourage you, though, to look at what you've been taught your entire life about Israel. And if you were raised as a Christian, as I was, we were supposed to, air quote, pray for the peace of Israel. If everything I was taught is now a lie, and I'm finding out that the basis of my whole foundation that I was taught was not entirely true, and everything in the mainstream media is of an MK Ultra type programming, then maybe we should dig in and figure out what kids Mr. Waters is referencing. Is he talking about the Gaza Strip casualties, official physical bombs and bullets, or could he be talking about all of the missing Palestinian children that have vanished without a trace? I'll let you guys go figure that one out. There was also something that I saw on actually YouTube. I'm surprised they're still able to be on YouTube, but I'm not going to say who it is now because I don't want to draw attention to them. But they are people that homestead, and they do follow the news. They do believe like I believe. So if you're listening to me, then we're probably all of the same thoughts. And they were talking about Ukraine and about how Putin is calling for a truce, but the president is still not wanting to go for the truce. He still wants to fight. And this person that was doing the video was talking about how Ukraine has lost generations of men in the same family. I mean, generation, 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 all gone. Grandpa, dad, and sons, all gone. And that Ukraine is out of male fighting men. So they're now releasing prisoners from prison and enlisting women and children to fight because all of the adult men have been killed. I use the word all kind of loosely. I'm sure not all of them have been killed, but a very large amount of them have been killed in this war. So in talking about Ukraine and President Zelensky, here's an interesting factoid. We're going to go to a little rabbit trail here. Interesting factoid about President Zelensky is that he is the first Jewish president in Ukraine. He was born Jewish descent. So due to the war, the presidential elections were canceled. So martial law is now in place. So why would President Zelensky not want to negotiate a truce to save his people from being decimated? Those are questions we all should ask, seeing as how trillions and trillions of our taxpayer dollars are being sent there, but not a dime is being sent to close our borders. Okay? So why are we so invested in keeping this war going in Ukraine? And why are we not protecting our borders? And why are all of our politicians wearing lapel pins with not the United States flag on it, but with the Ukrainian flag on it? It's just a little baffling. So I always just want to throw news out here for you guys to ponder, to mull over, and to pique your interest to do some more digging. So I listed two things that I thought were interesting and the possibility of why he would not want to negotiate a truce to save his people from being absolutely decimated. The first one was, if the war was over, then the president would no longer be the president because his term has expired. They didn't have the elections, and so his term has expired, and so once martial law is over, he's not the president. And number two, there's no pipeline of money from the U.S. to fund his pockets for, you know, buying his house in Florida and some other houses in the United States and other areas. There's no money to fund his personal pockets and other nefarious workings over in Ukraine and nefarious people. There's a rumor, I haven't seen the paper trail, I don't know, but some of that money that is earmarked to go over to Ukraine is rumored to come right back into pockets over here into upper leadership for our country. So I don't know. I haven't seen any bank accounts. I don't know that to be a fact, but that is a rumor. So back in February of 2022, there was a full-scale invasion from Russia into Ukraine. That is when the full-scale invasion happened. But back in and then later on in September of 22, the Nord Stream pipelines 1 and 2 had those devastating explosions. Up until that point of the pipelines being destroyed, President Putin, all he had to do to keep people from joining the war from Germany joining the war, from Germany coming over and supporting Ukraine, was to turn off the gas supply to those lines. And people in Germany would have been without heat and fuel for cooking and running natural gas-powered equipment and facilities, you know, running their furnaces, et cetera, and so forth. So Nord Stream 1 was active in supplying Germany with natural gas. Nord Stream 2 had been completed. The construction was done, and it was charged and ready to go, but it never opened to Germany due to Germany protesting the invasion of Ukraine in February of 2022. So the question being posed is, the only entity that benefited from this was a nation that is rich in natural gas, in a natural gas supply that could get the product to Germany. So you ask, who might that be? Well, it cost Germany around, don't hold me to this percentage number, I need to do a little bit more research, but I'm going to say around up to possibly 30% more than they were paying Russia for natural gas. But they had to have it because their people were in the middle of winter without heat. And you can look in all of the details about this explosion in Nord Stream 1, Nord Stream 2, the controversies around it, the investigation. Sweden closed theirs. Others are still open. They're still investigating. Was it sabotage? Was it not? And then the sabotage was blamed on, it's like finger pointing, like you hold your fingers pointed to each side of you going, it was them, it was them. So it was pointed towards the United States and Russia and Ukraine were all blamed for the sabotage. So as I give you guys news and point stuff out, I always say, you know, do your own homework. I'm not here to feed you the answers, because you have to put on your big boy and big girl britches and figure it out for yourself and stand on your own 2 feet. You have to seek source and figure out who's on first and what's on second and where are you in this paradigm. So I say to you, which entity, the U.S., Russia, and Ukraine, which one benefited from the sabotage? Who benefited? So I'll let you answer that question for yourselves. Another thing in the news that was interesting, I was just watching. It's interesting to see how things are starting to be disclosed just a few months ago, not even counting a few years ago, several years ago, that we all knew about, that no one in the mainstream media was talking about, and we were all being called, you know, conspiracy theorists or whatever, and, you know, it's only a conspiracy until it's proven true. So the cost of silver has gone up nicely. That's kind of been some interesting news to watch. Just kind of keep your eyes open. People that are in the spotlight, the Hollywood spotlight or the music spotlight, some things are coming out there as well that you're like, did mainstream media just say that? So I encourage you to kind of keep your eyes open. I'm going to take a break now coming up, and then I'll be back in about 2 minutes. But those are kind of the news things that I want you to think about this week and kind of keep your eyes open. And if you do go out to the malls or the grocery store or whatever, just kind of keep your head on a swivel, because I'm seeing things that aren't normal, and I'm wondering if you are too. All right, well, I'll be back in about 2 minutes, and then we'll pick it back up from there. All right, we'll talk to you soon. Come on back. I'll keep going. Let's just keep going. We'll just keep going. And I'm back. Okay, let's talk about, well, what do I want to talk about next? There's a theory out there called the let them theory. And I had never heard of it before. It's kind of something I live by. The older I get, the more I live by it. The younger I was, the less I lived by it. But I actually saw this on Facebook the other day, and I'm not a big Facebook person, but I was like, this is really good. And I thought it might be good to go over it on our Whiplash talk today, especially since, you know, we're talking about things that we're doing and how we're growing further in our ascension process and how it's sometimes like swimming through mud. And I usually sometimes say that it's like, I feel like I'm the only salmon that's swimming upstream while all the other ones are swimming downstream. And so it kind of hit home, and I thought, you know, this might be something that others would be interested in hearing as well. I honestly don't even know who I got it from, so I apologize to whomever wrote it. And I did not get the name written down as I did this, so I give credit to Facebook and to whomever wrote it. Thank you. It starts out, are you familiar with the let them theory? I'll tell you, the more I grow, the more I am okay with accepting the let them in my own life and relationships. Even family can mistreat and disrespect you. This is something that took me a very long time to learn. I used to tolerate a lot because I didn't want to lose people. I learned the hard way, if they were really my people, they would never treat me like that. Don't make the mistake of being so understanding and forgiving that you overlook the fact that you're being repeatedly disrespected. Let them be upset. Let them judge you. Let them misunderstand you. Let them gossip about you. Let them ignore you. Let them be right. Let them doubt you. Let them not like you. Let them not speak to you. Let them run your name in the ground. Let them make you out to be the villain. Whatever it is that people want to say about you, let them kindly step aside and let them. The hard truth is they know how much they are hurting you. They just simply don't care. They did it knowing it could cause them to lose you. They did it anyway. People that love you care about how they make you feel. The end. Let them go. There will be people that would rather lose you than be honest about what they've done to you. Let them go. The lack of respect was the closure. The lack of apology was the closure. The lack of care was the closure. The lack of accountability was the closure. The lack of honesty was the closure. Let them go. Make the decision to no longer sit at tables where you might be the topic when you get up. Let them go. You can still be kind. You can even still love them deeply, but do it from the distance they created in their words and actions. Access to you is a privilege they have proven they can't be trusted with. Let them go. You don't need to tell your side of the story. Source already knows. Let Source fight the battle for you. Let them go. It's taken me a long time to get here. Sleepless nights, countless tears, managing a range of emotions filled with anger, disappointment, confusion, and deep hurt. lots of self-reflection, self-preservation, deep prayer. We would say deep focus, deep meditation. Continuing on, it says, and seeking wisdom from those much wiser than me. If you are struggling with this, please know you are not alone. We will never understand why hurt people hurt people. But we can do the hard work to grow ourselves, because healed people do, in fact, heal people. Don't you dare let them steal your joy. Don't you dare let them steal your light. Don't you dare let them steal your peace. You are in control of you. You are in control of those items. You are in control of your joy, your light, your peace. Hold tight to what you can control and release your grip on what you can't control. Let them go. That one really spoke to me. When I first started Whiplash, it was, wow. I was still, and still am, grieving. I'm better, but going through the loss of my mother. And there were some issues that came up at my mother's funeral that totally came out of left field and totally took me out at the knees. And my friend Bill that I've talked about, he was there with me. And so he saw everything, and I was able to bounce it off of him and say, is it just me? Am I just kind of in a funk and in an odd way because, you know, my mother has passed and I am more sensitive? And he was able to help me, you know, kind of as a surveyor would say, you know, find my plumb, find my center. And he reassured me that what I saw and what was coming towards me was definitely out of the ordinary and somewhat, I was going to say somewhat cruel. I shouldn't say that, because who knows who's going to listen to this someday. But it's already there. Hey, it's out there. It's live. Yay. Hurtful, very hurtful. So in saying that, I've mentioned to you guys that I've worked with I've worked with some counseling, gone to some different people, and my whole focus was to make sure that I am who I am, that I'm strong in who I am, and that I decrease in the physical fleshly being, and that I increase into the light being, the source that I am, and get on with why am I still here, and the two people that I cared for deeply are gone. Why am I still here, and what is my purpose, and let's get on with it. Because if I'm still here, and there's got to be a reason, and I'm, you know, let's do it. So through the hurt, I've had to let them be. And recently, there have been some things that, you know, hey, we're going to be in the area, blah, blah, blah. Maybe we can get together. And I have had to put up boundaries. And I've had certain things going on to where I couldn't make a trek across country to go meet up. But it was my choice to not go. It was my choice to not move things around. So let them. And there is peace in that, and letting them be them, but you not getting into that playpen with them. They can play in the muck and mire, but you stay up on your higher dimension, your higher plane. Let them wallow in the pig pen. Not that they're pigs. I'm not calling them pigs. Don't tell everybody I called them pigs. But let them wallow in the mud and muck and mire. But you stay above that. And it's okay if they say things about you. It's okay if they try to lash out and hurt you because they are hurt people, and that's what they do. They hurt people. But we on Whiplash Talk are working to being healed people so we can heal people. So I just thought that was a really good, I was just really moved by that. And I thought, let them, I am going to really work on that theory and keeping that even more in the forefront of my thought process. My work is very stressful. As I said last week, you know, there were legal things that were delivered to our office, and let them. It's okay. I'm good with who I am, and I'm good with what I do, and let them. Source in me is bigger than that. Source in you is bigger than that. So as we go to the bottom of the hour, the 30-minute mark, I think I'm going to take another quick break, and then we'll come back and talk about an example of something that I think is absolutely beautiful, and then we'll end up, I've been kind of looking at trying to figure out, maybe I want like an everyday carry kit in my car if in fact hemp happens. And we'll talk about hemp when we come back. Okay, BBS, I'm going to go out for about 2 minutes and I'll be back. Welcome back, everybody. This is Sunshine on Whiplash Talks, and I am going to talk to you a little bit about which one are you? And this is something that I came across that was from Inspire Me. And I've seen this happen before, and it's happened. It's caught me off guard and shocked me sometimes because the people I thought, let me read it and then I'll get into it. Let me just do this. So which one are you? A lady asked an old street vendor, "How much do you sell your eggs for?" The old man replied, 50 cents an egg, ma'am." The lady responded, "I'll take 6 eggs for $2 or I'm leaving." The old salesman replied, "Buy them at the price you want, madam. This is a good start for me because I haven't sold a single egg today. I need this to live." She bought her eggs at a bargain price and left with the feeling that she had won. She got into her fancy car and went to a fancy restaurant with her friend. She and her friend ordered what they wanted. They ate a little and left a lot of what they had asked for. So they paid the bill, which was $150. The ladies gave $200 and told the fancy restaurant owner to keep the change as a tip. This story might seem quite normal to the owner of the fancy restaurant, but very unfair to the egg seller. The question it raises is, why do we always need to show that we have power when we buy from the needy? And why are we generous to those who don't even need our generosity? We once read somewhere that a father used to buy goods from poor people at a high price, even though he didn't need the things. Sometimes he paid more for them. His children were amazed. One day they asked him, "Why are you doing this, Dad?" The father replied, "It's charity wrapped in dignity." I know that most of you will not share this message, but if you are one of the people who have taken the time to read this far, then this message of attempted humanization will have gone one step further in the right direction. And that again was from Inspire Me. So I have seen this happen before, where you're out with a group of people and it's not an egg vendor, but let's say you're out with a group of people and everybody is eating dinner, they've ordered their meals, but there's always, not always, but sometimes there's a person that nothing is right with their meal. Everything is wrong with their meal. They're constantly running the wait staff ragged. And then when it comes time to tip, they don't even believe that they should have to pay for their food, even though they ate it, but it was not up to their standard. But then they don't even believe that they should tip the wait person because it was not up to their standard. And I've always been aghast at that, because it's like, one, they didn't cook it. Two, lower your standards. It was edible. You ate it. Lower your standards. It's okay. It's okay. Not everybody has an on day. So if everybody else's meals were fine and it wasn't a disgusting mess that was dangerous for you to eat, then it's okay. Maybe that person that's waiting there is working two other jobs trying to keep meals on the table to feed their children. So that one really got to me. I was raised by a single mother. You guys have heard that before. So when I was young, before I was even in school, my brother and sister were in grade school, but I wasn't in school yet. And my mother had just recently divorced my dad, and she worked as a cocktail waitress at night to support us three children. Now, let me back up. My mom was in college when she met my dad, and she was studying to be a concert pianist. She was an amazing pianist, and she met my dad, who was a farmer, coming from a farming family, and she did not finish her degree. She married him and started having children. And so when they got divorced, well, I'll just tell the whole story. My biological dad's father died a year before I was born. He died of a heart attack, but it wasn't instant. And so he was able to tell his son, make sure you farm your mother's land. Make sure you take care of your mother. And so he did. He took care of his mother. He farmed her land first, but he didn't have time to farm his too. And so his notes came due on his farm, our family farm, but he was not able to keep up with that because he was busy keeping up with his mother's farm. So he ended up in, I was born in 64. Now you guys know how old I am. I was born in 64, and they were divorced when I was 2.5 years old. So it is unheard of to file for bankruptcy back in those days. And it was such a shame and such a let them, you know, it would, the let them would have come in really handy right then, like, let them talk. But it was a big stigma, and he went into a great depression. And quite honestly, I don't remember my biological dad ever not being the epitome of Eeyore. He was always, always, always depressed. And that's my perception. I have siblings, they have their perception. But in that, she did not have a college education. Very smart, very talented woman, very, very driven. And she did everything she could to support her children. And so she, from being a farmer's wife and being a very successful home business, cosmetics type salesperson, she went to being a cocktail waitress. Working at night, she had someone that would come and just sleep in the house with us, so that way we had somebody with us while she was gone. And then she'd come home, and when we kids would wake up, she would take her home, and then I would stay home with my mom, and she would sleep, and I would play in the house, or sometimes I'd lay next to her and take a nap. And so getting back to this story, I know what it took for my mom to raise children on her own with a father that didn't pay child support on a regular basis. I was at the voting polls when she voted. That's when you pulled the curtains. You know, you pulled the curtain and you go in and vote. And I know my mom's voice, and she was like, yes. And I was like, oh my goodness. And everybody was like, oh my gosh, what's happening? And that was when she voted for being able to garnish wages for parents that were not paying their child support. And she was like, this will not help me, but it will help others in the future. And so this story really hit me, because it's like, why do we want to negotiate down with people that are just trying to sell something so they can have their next meal or pay their electric bill or, you know, do whatever they need to do to meet the needs of their family? But yet we don't have a problem dropping large tips and buying fancy meals. That's just normal. That's just a lifestyle that people get into. I have no problem with paying for a good meal if that is something that I want to do. But why do we have this going on where people feel that they have to get a good deal whenever they have the money to pay double the deal? Why can't we all have this attitude of, I love this line, it's charity wrapped in dignity. My gracious, what a great line. What a great line. It's charity wrapped in dignity. So I encourage you guys, you know, find something this week, these next 2 weeks while we're apart, find something where you can say that was charity wrapped in dignity. Not to bring honor to yourself, but just to bring dignity to others and helping them, giving them a hand up without them even feeling uncomfortable or feeling odd that you were helping them. So go find your opportunity to do some charity wrapped in dignity. I think I'm going to get a t-shirt with that. I just love that saying. So as we're wrapping this up for this quarter here, I want to talk about, I think BBS, we might go ahead and do a break at 45, but I want to talk about coming back. When we come back, I want to talk about, like I said, hemp, and it's probably not the hemp that you think that I want to talk about, but it's something we should all be aware of. And it's not something, I really want to be the person that looks at what we're going through right now as a movie, and let's pop some popcorn and let's leave the fear on the shelf, but let's watch the movie. Let's be aware of what's going on. Let's be mindful, but let's take the fear, put it in a box, tie it up with a bow, and put it on the shelves. But I also think that we have to be wise with what's going on. And when you're out in the community, you know, keep your head on a swivel. What's going on? Like I said earlier, there are tanks going through my area. That's kind of odd. There are military trucks going through my area. Why are people hanging outside of this facility? And now there are police cars coming from every corner of the world. So I'm going to talk a little bit about hemp when we come back. And it's kind of a worst case scenario, but like I say over and over again, Bill says, the body can't go where the mind hasn't already been. So let's do a little mind work to see, okay, if this scenario happens, how are you going to prepare? How are you going to do things? And so that way you're not so caught off guard if for some reason we're in the movie and it does happen. So I'm going to go ahead and go to my break. I love my sunshine music. I hope you guys enjoy it too. And let's do a 2-minute boogie and then we'll be right back and we'll wrap it up. We'll talk to you soon. Love that music. Okay, so here's a curveball I'm going to throw to you guys. It's called hemp, and it's known as high altitude electromagnetic pulse. A lot of people have talked about EMPs, electromagnetic pulse, but not a lot of people talk about high altitude electromagnetic pulse. In military terminology, it's a nuclear warhead that's detonated tens to thousands of miles above the Earth's surface. So there is a country that has these weapons available and has had them for many, many years. So it's not new. They've just not been used yet. So if you keep poking the bear and you keep, saying, hey, poke, 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 why could these not be sent, right? So I was thinking about it and I was like, oh man, for those that commute, maybe they're in bigger cities or those that have a little bit of a commute where you've got 30 minutes to get to work and 30 minutes to get home or whatever. I'm thinking, my gracious, if there is an electromagnetic pulse, it absolutely will fry anything electronic, right? So if that happens, most current vehicles right now would literally stop right in the middle of the highway. Everything would just come to a screeching halt. Your microwave won't work. Your TV won't work. Your phone won't work. Your navigation won't work. Electromagnetic pulse means it's going to fry all your electronics. So if, in fact, that happened, hypothetically speaking, let's pop the popcorn and watch the movie. Let's not go on the fear side, but let's pop some popcorn. Let's eat that while we're talking about this. If that happened and you happen to be 30 minutes from your home, 30-minute drive time from your home, how are you going to get home? You can't just grab a ride with your friend unless they have an older automobile that has no electronics in it and they're willing to try to drive down roads and highways that are like log jammed because every vehicle came to a screeching halt. So how are you going to get home, or how are you going to survive away from your stash if you have a stash? So I got to doing some studying and some looking, and you know, everybody's talked about bug out bags, and okay, if I have to bug out and get out of here, you know, what's my bug out bag going to have in it? Well, what about an everyday carry bag, or like a car bag, like an emergency car bag to get you back to your bug out bag? Because your bug out bag isn't going to do you any good if you can't get to your bug out bag. So I was doing a little studying, and I'm like, okay, well, what would you put like in an everyday carry bag? And you know, they're saying, you know, cash. Well, that is, if our cash is still good, go listen to last week's show. Cash or a cell phone. Well, there are cell phones that will work, but they're military phones. You can get them. You can get your hands on them. But if, in fact, the EMP hits and you did not have your phone wrapped in tinfoil, and I'm not joking, seriously, tinfoil, if you didn't have it wrapped in tinfoil, then it would fry your phone. But even if it did that, the networks, you know, the T-Mobiles, the Verizons, the AT&Ts, those also can take a big hit. So I was thinking, okay, well, first aid kit, maybe some Band-Aids, might have to do a lot of walking, maybe a pair of walking shoes, comfortable walking shoes, or even hiking boots, depending on what you're going to have to walk through to get back home. Summertime bug spray, Chigarex. Do you have to go through stuff like that? A multi-tool, you know, kind of like, I don't want to call them by name, but, you know, it has tweezers and it has, you know, sharp blades and it has little snippers and things like that. Maybe a little saw, you know, that kind of stuff, but little. So that way it's not heavy to carry, depending on how far you have to go. Maybe a notepad and a pencil or a pen to write down directions from someone, or write down what you've seen, or write down where you left something and hid it so you can come back and get it. And then on that multi-tool, you know, that pocket knife or hunting knife, that kind of thing, you could all maybe put it into one. There are also solar charged power banks or, you know, chargers. You know, maybe you've got something that you could charge that didn't get fried. I don't know. I was just trying to think of what would you put in that bag. And then I got to thinking, most importantly, water and food. What is going to be in the bag that's not going to be heavy, that you will have, most importantly, water or water purification tablets, or I'm going to give a brand name, but I'm sure there's other ones out there, but something like a Life Straw, where if you can find some water, even if it's not trickling running water, but if you can find some water to where you've got something that filters out the Giardia and the bacteria and the little organisms and stuff. It may not taste good, but you can still get your hydration from it. Maybe you put that in there. So I've just got to thinking, what What would we do? This country has never really experienced physical boots on the ground warfare with each other. Like, okay, so Mexico has come across the border and they are going to invade and fight us. We haven't had that in our lifetime. So it's hard for us to think survival because we've never had to, unless we were in the military and we experienced that and we were trained for that. Very, very, very few of us have really had to think survival skills. And so I was thinking about that and I thought, okay, well, maybe get like a little bag in your car. I would say probably a backpack would be the best because that way your hands are free and you can carry it on your back and you don't have, you know, weight on one side. It's more balanced. But that's just something to think about. A flashlight with extra batteries. And if you end up storing it through the winter, remember the batteries, the cold weather will run your batteries down more quickly. A car escape tool. So something that you can, you know, cut your seatbelt with and the window breaker, that's a really good tool to have. I have a first aid kit that I've carried in my car for years, a first aid mag. And I think it just comes from whenever I was a flight attendant and just being trained in first aid and stuff like that and, you know, CPR and that kind of thing. You kind of want to be a little more prepared when you see stuff. So a blanket. Even in the summertime, a blanket, you might just need to cover up, you know, just to be able to protect yourself a little bit from the elements. Gloves, boots, socks, like I said, flashlight, even a tire inflation canister. If for some reason you have an older vehicle, but there's a lot of debris on the roads or whatever, and you end up with a flat tire or a low tire, you know, have a flat tire inflation canister. So things like that, granola bars, energy bars, things that don't melt in the sun or freeze in the winter. The other thing, I was laughing with a friend of mine the other day. She was telling her daughter that her daughter was just teasing her up one side and down the other and just like, Mom, why did you buy an atlas? You know, we bought our phones, we've got navigation. And she was like, but what if we don't have our phones? And she's looking, her daughter's looking at her like, what? What do you mean we don't have our phones? That does not compute. And, so I was laughing because I'm like, yeah, I have one in my car too. So, so an atlas, you know, what if you can't make it home on the roads that you know, or you need to go somewhere else, you can find those back roads and you can navigate the way you need to navigate. So that is something that I was just going to throw out there, just to kind of think about it, not to sow fear, but we are watching a movie and it's getting intense. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but the energy levels are getting pretty intense. So don't be in fear, you know, be strong in your source, tap into source, you know, push that flesh down and release source and let source shine through you and tap in and listen to what source is saying. You know, be prepared. Don't be scared. And just remember, we've got to get to the other side of this. There's a reason we're here. We came here for this reason, to help others make it to ascension and to have this beautiful water planet for us to enjoy. We've got to stick together and make it to the finish line and bring those with us that we can. There is the potential for people that are quite hungry to turn on each other. And we don't really want that. We don't really want that to happen. But we can't say that it won't. So let's end on a positive note. And let's just say, we've got our commands. I did those on the first show. We've got our commands. Do your commands. And, you know, you command your spirit to destroy anything or anyone that is trying to harm or hinder you. You can also say it with your group. You know, we command our spirits to destroy anything or anyone that is trying to hinder us. Say it three times, mean it, and use that to your benefit. So I just want to say thank you so much for tuning in. I really encourage you to stay tuned for Being Inspired with Q and then Project Review with Q. They always have so much to share with us. And ForThePeople.space has new information on it that is very, very helpful and very encouraging and eye-opening. And I just encourage you to plug in so that you can watch the movie, eat the popcorn, and leave the fear on the shelf. I'm going to say goodbye now. Thanks for joining me. I'll see you in 2 weeks. If you guys go out and find that person that you can help them give with dignity. Okay? All right, guys. Love you all. Thanks for joining me, and I wish you all the best. Remember, it's charity wrapped in dignity. Okay, bye. See you in 2 weeks. Whiplash Talks is out.